too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Mom, out there's a land the time don't command. Wanna be the first to ride. No time for pondering why I'm wandering on while we both sit back. To the ends of the earth, would you follow me? There's a world that was meant for us to see. To the ends of the earth, would you follow me? If you will never say my goodness to me.
Golflandia 160. What an elite song. This is Golflandia 160 on the Wiley Podcast Network. Exclusive podcast network. Only two elite podcasts in golf. I chose that was Ends of the Earth by Lord Huron. And the album is Lonesome Dreams. And I think I played that years ago. Three years ago. And I sometimes I resurrect the music that I really like. And you get these albums that you don't know, like, just don't have enough attention. And that's one of them. That's one of the albums rarely that I could listen to start to finish. Lord Huron. I just so underrated. It's about 8 years old. And that song, Ends of the Earth, is just so impeccably written. And I committed to doing that. I might do the whole album for the next 10 weeks because I like it so much. I was going to do Let's Go All the Way by Sly Fox from the 80s, and here's why. And I'll get to golf in a second, but I want to make a point because it connects with the other points I'm going to make. So this song, Let's Go All the Way. Let's go all the way. Let's go all the way. Yeah. If you knew any songs from the 80s, you'll know that song. So anyway, we were talking about today how instantly you can pick up a song that you like by Google searching two or three words in the lyrics, downloading it in 5 seconds and having it. But back then, as a kid in the 80s, 90s, you heard a song on the radio, you had to race to go record the song on a cassette tape or just maybe get a hint of who was the artist from the DJ, because otherwise you're stymied for years. And this song, Let's Go All the Way by Sly Fox, Let's Go All the Way, I heard it at a Oshawa Generals game when I was about 11 years old. We just traded for Eric Lindros, and he was 16. So here I am in the stands, wearing like a Toronto Blue Jays jacket, you know, looking like I'm 7 years old. Meanwhile, looking at Eric Lindros, who at the time might as well have been 30 years older than me, and he was like 3 years older than me, 4 years older than me, 6'4", 250, chiseled, absolutely wrecking people. And I'm sitting here drinking a milkshake in the crowd, watching him like a little baby boy. And I heard this song come on, and it was Sly, Let's Go All the Way. And I'm looking at him humming the tunes. I'm like, man, that is the coolest human being I've ever seen in my life. I will give my life just to be him for one day. And I was like, I wish I knew that song. It took me 10 years to figure out who wrote that song. 10 years. It finally came on the radio again. And I literally crawled over people to figure out what it was. God, I was such a loser. This week, DraftKings, we had a great guest, Justin Dwepisipidipidip. He has 16 letters in his last name, one of the most difficult last names. I cannot pronounce it. I did it once on the recording with him. I cannot do it again. But it was a very good segment. Every week, we do a contest with DraftKings. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll be able to be in that contest for DraftKings, which I suggest you do. It's limited to 300 elite people. Absolutely no slappies. Absolutely no rake. And so I'm going to put that contest out tomorrow once I get it from them. And I hope you join. The winner of that gets to be on the podcast every week. But if you're into DraftKings, the football season is, this is the read. This, the football season is less than 10 days away, with the reigning champs set to take the field to kick off the season. There's no better place to get in on all the action than DraftKings, the leader, that is true, the absolute leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate week one of the football season, DraftKings is putting you in the center of the action with two shots at $1 million top prize, so get in on all the action right now. Make it rain with DraftKings. It's easy. Draft your team, stand in the salary cap, pile up points. You know how to do it. Yards, touchdowns, so much more. On top of that, DraftKings is giving away a share of up to $100 million in prizes to all users who enter the free football survivor pool. All you have to do is sign up for DraftKings, enter the survivor pool, and you'll get instantly, you'll instantly get a share of up to $100 million in giveaways. With all this cash up for grabs, there's no better place to get in on all the action than DraftKings. Here's what I suggest as well. This is my interlude, because I did the showdown on Sunday and I won it, but I didn't enter anything else except for the single entry, and I would have slaughtered all you animals. So enter everything if you feel like you have a good team. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code GOLFLANDY to get a free shot at $1 million top prize, and for a limited time to get your share of $100 million in prizes once you enter DraftKings free survivor pool. That's promo code GOLFLANDIA to get in on all the action for a limited time only. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. That ends the read. Here's my thoughts. DraftKings stock, for those of you who like my Wednesday periscopes and I talk about stocks, like I talked about AYX or talked about Walmart buying TikTok. By the way, Walmart the next day, what's it up? Like 10%? I love DraftKings stock. Love DraftKings. They don't pay me to say that. They don't want me to talk about it. This is me personally at $35 at the bottom. I love DraftKings stock. $50 target. Don't worry about the slappy clown analyst who says it's a downgrade sell. $37. Forget that. It's a $50 stock, in my opinion. Just like Tesla. Tesla is full of varying opinions. Is it a $500 stock with a split? One analyst has Tesla at $11. $17, excuse me. Gordon Johnson, the guy who hates Tesla, the half-star analyst who hates Tesla, has it at, checks notes, $17. When it's running off at $500 now. So good. But just like every week with golf, varying opinions on things. I was told by members of Olympia Fields that it was a very gettable course. That if you drove the ball well and far, it was going to be a slaughterhouse and members were going to hate it. Well, turns out that wasn't the case. So I've been wrong 2 weeks in a row now. Previously at Northern Trust, I said it was going to be difficult, minus 30. I say every week is going to be difficult because for me, every one of these courses is going to be difficult. So I said, let's just go off the radar here. Let's go off the radar and say it's going to be easy. And I picked the course that basically plays like the most challenging U.S. Open of all time. Perfect timing for me. I make mistakes. DJ almost won. I did say that. And had people kept it in the fairway and long for the entire week, in the 20-yard narrow shoots that they had it hit it into, maybe they would have slaughtered the course. But they didn't. So there you go. That's that. It was difficult. And for those of you who like my tweets, my old tweets that are incorrect after the fact, those people are the worst. I have absolutely taken note and bookmarked all of you who either say, who either tag old takes exposed, throw in the eyeballs emoji, or just passively like the tweet on Sunday, Jason Rauslin. And by the way, Treeline Parklands account, remember that account, Treeline Parklands, that picked Jim Herman to win the Wyndham and picked the score within one stroke? So I'm looking at my old tweets and some notifications, and I see one from Treeline Parklands on check's date, August 25th. And all he tweets to me was a picture of trees and John Rahm holding a trophy. This is Wednesday of last week. This guy, psychotic. Psychotic, absolute slicer of a ball. In denial. There's something up. This is like Unsolved Mysteries, Stranger Things on Netflix. There's something up with this guy. I don't know. Maybe it's Edwin the ghost in this office. Maybe he's trying to tell me something. But this cat picks John Rahm on the nose. Jim Herman on the nose. Treeline Parklands. And this week, what is it? Treeline Parklands. Nice old Donald Ross course. East Lake. Great story behind East Lake in terms of the rehabilitation of that community and the course and how much significance it played in it. This is a tough course. I'm just going to say every week, by the way, I don't care if it's Sanderson Farms. I don't care if it's Napa Valley, which is great, by the way, Safeway. CJ Cup now playing Shadow Creek, boo. Every week is tough. I'm going to say it. So there you go. The Golf TV, by the way, the 30 players playing this tournament this week, a Golf TV put up some artwork of just like a painting of all 30 players. And I love this stuff. Don't get me wrong. I love the artwork. I had a 1989 Detroit Pistons championship team t-shirt. You know, when they used to do like an artistic rendering of all the players holding the trophy. I love those shirts. This reminds me of that. So I love it. I love going through every player. Now, it's okay to poke fun at it a little bit. Because Webb Simpson looks like, you know, he's doing a Coke deal. With his black Just For Men beard. And they were missing Mark Leishman. They had 29 guys. Poor Mark Leishman. Oh, we forgot to paint Mark Leishman. Whoops. So it's okay to scrutinize it. It doesn't mean you don't like it. I like it a lot. Cecil Peters got upset because everyone didn't like it. It's not we didn't like it. Cecil. Come on, Cecil. Cecil, you make fun of every bit of content that ever existed in golf Twitter. And this thing, which is just a piece of art run through like a Snapchat filter app to create it on Twitter, on your iPhone. It's not like someone's there with a palette and a brush painting these players. It took about 6 minutes to do this. Come on, Cecil. If everyone had loved this, you would have been all over them for loving it. Get control of the character. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, yeah. That's it. Oh, so this week, yeah. So it's East Lake, the championship. Dustin Johnson's $15,000 on DraftKings. That's a tough scene. Absolutely tough scene. Even though I love Dustin Johnson, and he prints money. Just two mashers of golfers in a playoff. John Rahm, Dustin Johnson. I love that. That is who should be there, and that's who belongs. Along with Brendan Todd. I was going to say this, yes. So I finished my book on reframing healthcare. It taught me a lot of lessons about, you know, it just reinforced things I have often talked about marketing. So in the context of the question I had last week about TV and golf, and why is coverage not as good as it could be for golf? I watched this movie, and I suggest you do, on Netflix with Michael Keaton, and it may be an old one. You may have seen it, but it Mr. Mom. It's not Mr. Mom. No, it's Batman. It's called Founder, or The Founder. It was the history of Ray Kroc and McDonald's. Now, it's not an Oscar-winning movie, but the story from a business case study is really impressive in terms of how McDonald's and how Ray Kroc and made it into the Goliath that it is today. And it was more so a issue of process from a business perspective. And I'll just sort of lightly touch on how I think this relates to golf and TV coverage. But what they did well and what made them so successful was that they really thought of food service in terms of the supply side of marketing, in terms of exactly what the consumer wanted when they went and ordered food. Speed, efficiency, no lines, quality food, low packaging. I don't have to sit down in a restaurant and wait. Don't have to be served by anyone. Just give me the food when I want it in a timely fashion. And when I ordered, I don't have to wait 20 minutes. And they what they did was they perfected process, which no one had done. And so what they did, and by perfecting process and eliminating cost, they were able to give people a product quickly for a low price. And so what they did masterfully, which I talked about last week, was they thought about a product in terms of the lens of the consumer. And sometimes you really have to rethink this from your business, from a problem set, as to what actually are people buying. And I've said that a million times on this podcast. It's sometimes tough to figure out. McDonald's back in 1950 figured it out. People just wanted good food quickly. So how do we do that? Well, have a smaller menu, have it pre-prepared, have the quality items, and make sure there's no interference between those two things. And so in terms of, you know, golf and TV on a more contemporary look, it's the same question. What is the interference between what the consumer wants, if you think about it, in terms of their content they're consuming in 2020? What is the new way between what the people with the broadcast rights, the geniuses and the very smart people and the talented people producing the broadcast for trillions of dollars, and they've paid trillions of dollars for the access to the right to produce the broadcast, between that and what your eyeballs as golf connoisseurs and people who play fantasy sports, etc., what they want to see? And in the middle of that, what is the interference and what is the waste and cost and things that can be eliminated in order to connect those two issues? And now you're in this economy, you're thrown into that mix with so many businesses that are just realizing how much waste is involved in the production of their product every day, whether it be service or whether it be actual manufacturing or what have you. People realize that, you know, this is a virtual economy. There's so many things that we spend money on: travel, giant office space, retreats, conferences, stuff that we could probably shed X amount of dollars, give that back in terms of price discounts to consumers, and get them what they want more effectively. Now, that eliminates a tremendous amount of jobs at the same time, but that's the new economy, and that's what McDonald's did back in the 50s. Not to give you the spoiler for this movie, but it's really an effective case study. And so when you're looking at golf content in 2020 from all sides of things, and I think Barstool said this well recently, and I don't agree with everything they say, but I believe that the CEO said this effectively, in that the new economy for content for sports is going to be personality driven. It's not going to be network driven. It's not going to be, you know, giant TV rights necessarily driven. It's going to be, who do people connect with best in terms of content on, you know, it's platform agnostic. They can go out and film a Periscope, much like Dave Portnoy does every morning to talk about stocks. There's still hundreds of thousands of people watching that. Well, he's hit on a rhythm here. He doesn't need a giant $4 trillion ESPN studio with 50 cameras, right? He can do that from the comforts of his house in Nantucket. And so essentially that's the McDonald's model of the 50s. They eliminated so much cost, interference, waste, time, expenditure in between what the consumer wanted and what restaurants could give. Same thing's happening with content now. And it's utterly changing. And that's what makes, you know, someone like that so brilliant at what they do in terms of performance and art. And I think that is what ultimately the networks will get down to and perhaps save hundreds of millions of dollars a year doing it. I mean, NBC just bought that points bet out of Europe, right? They're starting to figure it out. What the hell am I talking about? All right, let's talk to Justin. Justin, DraftKings winner, good guy. All right, we're here with Justin and the hardest last name I've ever had to pronounce in 160 shows. I'm going to try it.
Yeah,
let me try it.
Do it. Let's hear it.
All right, Justin Druppengeiser.
That's pretty good. It's Duppengeiser.
Okay. What is the background to that name?
Very German. So my grandpa was actually 18 in Germany during World War II and then came over to the United States when he was like 16 or so.
Yeah.
So very German.
Perry, New York. Close to Boston, close to Massachusetts, not in the finance industry though.
No, we're close to near like west of Buffalo, New York, upstate, farm country.
You a Sabres fan?
I am a Sabres fan, unfortunately.
There you go. What do you do in Perry, New York?
I am the executive director for the Wyoming County Business Education Council.
And what does that do?
That is basically just we try to connect businesses and the local high schools to prepare youth for the workforce, essentially. We really try to focus on like skilled trades and stuff like that. But like we'll set up job shadows and do mock interviews and run big events with all different skilled trades people there and really just try to keep people in the community and have them ready to work while they're in, you know, in their counties and everything.
See, I think that's brilliant. Here's why. And I need to talk to you about this afterwards because a university, a big one here in my area in Kentucky, wants me to help build an entrepreneurship program that connects people paying undergrad money with how to have an actual career in business and how to connect it with people with money and business in the community afterwards. Like, especially in this day and age, in this economy, if you're going to spend that much money on post-secondary education, you want to be able to walk out of that university with a job or connect to the community. So I think what you're doing is brilliant. Justin.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That is, you know, we really want to focus too. And the big thing is because a lot of people here, they'll get their education and they'll be ready for the workforce. And then they leave, you know, their town, their county, their community. And we want the people that are good to stay within their communities and keep building this area up. So, you really definitely, it is a great thing. And, you know, we're very lucky to have the support that we do from the businesses because they see the same thing that you do. You know, it's important, right? The businesses want to be a part of it and the schools love it because the kids are getting real life experiences from these business owners and everybody. So it's really a good thing.
Quick question. How many letters in your last name?
14.
Wrong. Actually, yeah, you're right. There's 14.
Yeah, 14.
I was hoping you'd get it wrong and be like, man, you should have done the research, pal.
Yeah, you know, Took me a few years to get it down, but I finally I think I got it.
I triple checked it, just like I did with the Golf TV, you know, portrait of the 30 golfers. They only had 29. I counted that 40 times before I tweet. They're missing Mark Leishman.
Yeah, well, I think some of those places are blending together, so it's hard to find them all.
Where are you at this week in golf, man? It's really different because you basically have to have top six.
Yeah, it's wild, right? It's one of those tournaments, and honestly, I'm usually not even, well, I'm not good in general, but I'm not very good at the no cut events.
Sorry.
The no cut event.
Sorry, what?
This show just got rated R real quick.
God. That's now 17 letters in your event. Name now. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, the no-cut events are difficult to begin with, but then, you know, you're cutting it in half even more from you did last week. And it's something, the scoring is so wacky. Like, you start off with the leaders up there already having points and stuff. So, you know, doing some research, I like DJ again, Bryson. Bryson is good at those long par fours. DJ's really good at the long par fours. They have, what, five par four is over 450 yards there. Mm-hmm. So
$15,000 doesn't scare you off.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big thing right there, isn't it? Whether or not you can even try to jam any of those lower guys. We're going to throw Mark Leishman at there and at 152 over after last week. I don't think that
poor Mark with the C.
Oh my goodness! What happened to him? He's broken or something. I don't know.
He is broken.
Yeah, it's he's 100-1.
He's 100-1, Justin, for a top five in a 30-man event,
which is just remarkable. It's almost worth throwing down some money just because of the odds on that. That's just crazy.
He's too good of a golfer,
right? Like they always say, the best players in the world are just almost always right there, right? They just got to fix one thing, like a millimeter, and they could be there. You don't know.
That's right.
Leishman's a good golfer.
That's right. Who wins, you think?
I'm going to go with Bryson.
Wow.
Early lean.
Wow. In a no-cunt event.
No, no cunts. We're going Bryson. You know.
That's funny. Hey, man, I'm really glad you joined the show. I know we had some technical difficulties, but I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. You're going, what an idiot is this guy?
No, it was a good segment. Thanks, man, so much.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you having me on, man.
All right, pal, thanks. Cash rules everything around
me. Cream, get the money. Tiger Woods, y'all.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, man.
You got a cool video sent to you.
Yes, I got a short video from Matt Fitzpatrick the other night, courtesy of our friend Dan Rappaport. I guess they were out having some fun in Chicago after he nearly won the BMW championship.
Isn't that crazy?
Look, those courses, we've said it year in and year out, tough, firm, windy. He's going to be there, and sure enough, I don't think anyone even saw him on the leaderboard until Sunday. And it's like, oh, Fitzpatrick is three back. Cool.
I forget who said on Twitter, but he's a gritty, gritty grinder. And I think that's a good description of him. He just doesn't quit. Yeah. I don't think anyone who has does anyone have a quicker swing tempo than Matt Fitzpatrick?
No, he doesn't. But it gets him in some trouble. You know, those fairway medals, we've seen them go far left very quickly.
Wentworth.
Yeah, Wentworth, Scandinavia. Yeah, they go left in a hurry.
But he's always seems to be in it, right?
Look, I mean,
he's no quit.
Yeah, and he hits fairways and greens, and he makes a lot of putts. And
it's a good putter.
Make a lot of putts, right? And he makes putts despite having the flag stick in, right?
Let me ask you about that. But Fitzpatrick's fearless. I mean, I guess that's a good word for him. He doesn't really. He's just always going for it.
You don't. Well, yeah. I mean, you don't win a U.S. amateur.
Right. No.
Like people forget that he won at Brookline, and yeah, that's a hard event to win.
He has eight professional wins or seven. I mean, Okay, go ahead and do that. The flag in, do you notice that since that rule, remember in the first stages of that rule, everyone had flag in. Everyone. Now no one does, it seems.
Yeah, very
except for Adam Scott, who continues to miss butts.
It's Scott used it for his alignment mostly. He was so bad. He must have made 20 feet of putts on Sunday. I mean, that guy, he couldn't get a putt to the hole.
No, he couldn't.
Oh my God. But no, I cannot putt with a flag stick in. Absolutely not.
And I forget where it was. Was it the Arnold Palmer? I don't know. There was some, maybe it was, I don't know where it was, but 2008, and he was just using a regular blade putter. Not the, you know, the anchor putter that he uses now.
Yeah.
And he hit like a 90-foot putt naturally. Like, what does he got to lose? Why don't you just go back? I mean, he doesn't do anything well with his putter now.
Yeah.
He won the Masters, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been putting, I guess, hot and cold, but that was a special performance on Sunday.
So last week was interesting in that the course played a lot more difficult than I thought, at least. And conversely, the previous week was a lot more easy than we had thought. So DJ still performed incredibly well.
Yep.
Your guys who played well off the tee, which is the main feature asking professional golfers that I know, what would you want out of your swing if you had anything? And they would say being able to drive the ball well. And there you go. So the top drivers of the ball, Rom, DJ, all at the top of the leaderboard. And so this week, I don't see much difference. I mean, Treeline Parklands, shocking, right?
Yep.
It's a par 70. For a par 70 for the mortal human being, 7,400 yards, you know, around, that's tough. The rough is punitive. The greens are average sized. It's going to be firm, but you got to drive the ball well. Again, I mean, do you correlate some things and some takeaways from Olympia and apply them to this week?
I don't think so. I think that
fuck. Go ahead.
I don't think so. No, that course was just tough. It was very, very brutal. And I mean, even here last year, and East Lake is not the easiest course. I mean, what did Rory shoot last year? 18 under. And he
spotting 10.
No, he started like six. Maybe he was 4 or 5 under, but he shot like minus 14 here. So it's, you know, it's not
fairways are same width. But 28 yards.
I do think with the weather that kind of we've had down here in the Southeast, I do think it's going to be a little bit firm. And I assume the rough's going to be up because again, one of the things here with no fans, right? As we've seen week in and week out, the rough doesn't get matted down. They're not cutting it as much. So that could be a thing, but it's not nearly going to play as hard as last week. Plus we have a lot of data on this course. You know, there are guys who we've seen year in and year out, Horschel, Xander, JT, Rory play really, really well here.
So East Lake, which if you haven't heard the story about East Lake and its transition from where it was to where it is now, it's quite a remarkable story. I forget the CEO of that community or the CEO of that company who helped revitalize a community in that golf course, but it's really cool. The notes on it, East Lake Golf Club, this is from greensquare.golf. greensquare.golf, course form, tour form, player form, all form, your form. 10 minutes drive east, Atlanta, Georgia, USA. Bendelow, 06. Donald Ross, 14. Reese Jones, 1994. Further Jones upgrades in 2008, 2016. Par 70, 7,300 yards, two par fives, long, challenging technical, and what's called a tree-lined parklands, Ryan.
That's a new one.
Right, 5 water hazards in play on 4 holes, 74 bunkers. That's a lot. Gently undulating average width. Zoysia grass cut to about a half an inch. The rough is Bermuda rough, 2.5 inches, fast 12 stamp Bermuda green, 6,000 square feet, which is average plus. Shave runoffs, approach need to find the right quadrant for sure. Greens and reg, around the green, Bermuda putting, precision iron players off the green, off the tee, good. So, you know, guys like DJ, which impeccable off the tee, great wedge players. Rory, Rom, Xander won here it's not even 3 years. Wow.
Yep.
So we got 30 guys this week. A lot of them you could consider probably for the win outrights out of it already.
Yes.
Because the you know, DJ spotted 10 shots. Good luck, you know, running down that score. But there are some guys just below him that could make play into this weekend. The biggest thing is for DraftKings, and we were talking about this beforehand in terms of, you know, what contests we're going to play. I had to double take. I thought it was an error. I thought because Chris Durrell Jager Bombs on Twitter, Jager_bombs, something number, who sends me these really, really good data spreadsheets every week. He always sends DK pricing with it, and it was 15-2, and I hadn't looked at the app yet, and I thought, way to go, Chris, you blew it. But 15-2 is DJ's price, mm-hmm. which is insane.
It's a lot. Yep. I think we had this format for the first time last year. JT was 15-5. But yeah, it's a lot. You know, they give you some room down to the bottom. They go down to a flat 5K salary for Mark Leishman. But
for who?
Yeah.
The poor Mark Leishman, by the way, the Golf TV sketch, which I liked, right? It's okay to make fun of it. It's just sure. You know, the faces are kind of different. Most of them were good. Webb Simpson was...
Harris English.
Harris English looked like he'd just done 4 days of speed. But they forgot Mark Leishman, the poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Was that intentional?
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, you know.
It's 5K. 5K.
The guy hasn't hit a good golf shot since March. But it's super strange because of how well he was playing beforehand. People forget it was just a couple months ago he almost won API after winning Torrey Pines. And now he cannot make a par. So... It's very interesting. You know, I think the biggest thing with DJ, I mean, number one, at that price, he obviously has to win. He probably has to win by a few shots.
Yeah.
Number two, a lot of people are then going to pair him with Rom, meaning it's going to be very hard to make a unique roster. I think one of the biggest things this week.
Because you're at 30K right there. So you got 20K left for four.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a week, obviously, if you're going to be different, you want to leave some money on the table. You really can't leave money on the table if you're paying 15-2 for DJ. I mean, like you'd have to go Leishman, Cam, Horschel, Neiman or something at the bottom, which again, if you play DJ Rom, everybody's going to have that same team.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you can do that. And yeah, it's way too high a price for someone who is not that likely to win.
Yeah, because Rom definitely, I mean, if that putt at the end, my God. That was insane.
That was insane.
But you think about it from Rom's. I mean, he did that at Torrey Pines for the Farmers a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really a fluke for Rom because Rom is just that good. I mean, Rom is, you know, you talk about Morikawa. Rom has a flawless game, generally.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But DJ Rom are just two heavyweights. And to give Rom, I mean, yeah, you give DJ two strokes, but you also give him 3,000 in price. You know, Rom's going to win, right?
Yeah. I mean, at that price though, I mean, that big of a difference. I mean, technically DJ could win if he beats Rom in a playoff or beats Rom by one, like Rom is a better value play at that point.
Yeah.
He'd have to outscore him by, you know, 10, 15, 20.
A points. Ton.
Yeah.
Like look at Streelman last week, the stop play of the year. I mean, he actually outscored a lot of people who finished way above him. He had a ton of birdies.
Yeah, plus I just think in this kind of week, you know, I think there are some people who are viable, not just for DK, but guys who are live to win, you know, four or five shots back. And because of the odds and because of the pricing, like, they are underpriced. You know, you look at guys like Xander and Berger. I mean, they should be massive chalk. There's really no reason not to play them. I mean, they can score and they have a chance to get up there to the top.
I have 10 guys who are plays and 20 guys who are not.
Sounds about right.
Who are your plays? Let's start at the top.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't argue any of the three guys, but I think price alone, I'm probably not going to play DJ. And for ownership purposes, I'm probably just going to start with JT over Rom.
Wow.
I think he'll be lower owned. If people totally. Don't play, if people don't play DJ, they're going to play Rom. So.
Yeah, I think JT, Webb, Morikawa, Bryson will be way less owned than John Rahm.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Rory because he's in the 9Ks, but like if Rory plays, he's going to be 45% owned in this because you can pair him with another top guy.
Yeah, but he's not going to be because his wife is going to have a baby any day and he's going to be pulled away from it. You can tell he's just waiting for that phone call and he's gone.
I hope it happens Friday morning.
Yeah, well, you can't play him, honestly. I mean, it's a great price, but you can't play him. Mm-hmm. Famous last words, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know that Treeline Parklands, that Twitter account, mm-hmm. that mysterious Twitter account that got Jim Herman right by the right score?
So weird.
You know, on August 25th, which was Wednesday of last week, he tweeted at me a picture of Treeline Parklands and John Rahm holding a trophy.
Really?
What is going on?
This guy's a savant.
He's a psycho. So then they go down to, Hideki played, he got very lucky off the tee, but it may not be unrated to some people, but to most people, his around the green chipping, pitching, bunker play, wedge play in general is just, you don't expect that from Hideki because he's the driver of the ball. He's a great iron player. It's just so good. He's so good. And he putt pretty well.
Yeah, he's had some crazy weeks, but I mean, historically, yes, he's always been known as a ball striker, but historically he's always been really good around the greens.
One of the best.
He's typically gaining a shot and a half per event around the greens. So that's not super uncommon. What was uncommon last week is the iron play just abandoned him after Thursday. Just gone. He was missing long, short, left, right, off the tee. He was hitting these big push cuts. It was weird.
Yes, on Sunday, those big push cuts, like just
not even with driver, with three woods and I mean, all kinds.
Right, and then he would hit these amazing shots from the rough, to 4 feet. I like Hideki. I think 9,300 is a very generous price for him. I like it better than Daniel Berger.
I'm not sure. It's because Berger, he scores a lot. He makes a lot of birdies. And he makes those 4 to 8 footers that Matsuyama doesn't. Every single time. Plus, you talk about, I mean, when do I play Berger? Very rarely, but I'm going to play him in the Southeast on Bermuda. If this is a course that Billy Horschel can play well on, certainly a course that Daniel Berger can play well on.
Brendan Todd. Let's go right to it.
Good segue.
He's 7 down on DJ. I think he can top 3. At 7,600 bucks?
Four strokes putting again?
Yes, absolutely.
God, that guy makes more 25 and 30 footers.
Yes.
From off the green.
Yes. He's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's got absolutely nothing to lose, so why not?
Dirty Tony Finau, 8,200, who almost was in the clubhouse winning.
Yeah, it kind of depends how people build their rosters, who they want to grab at the top. But, like, Finau is going to be the first guy in a lot of people's lineups.
Yeah, probably.
He scores. He's got a couple of recent top fives. They're not used to seeing him at 8,200, especially in a small field. I don't know if that's a great price for him, but I think he's going to be probably close to 40% owned.
I tell you who's going to be first in a lot of lineups at 6,300 is Neiman.
He should be. No reason not to.
Him and Hovland. Hovland didn't have a great week last week, but I would not take someone like Victor Hovland on a course like this at 6,600.
Yeah, I mean, what about Horschel? He's probably the other guy because he's even lower. He's 57. Yep. He's finished first, second, and seventh at this golf course. And while he didn't have a great week last week, he's been really good since the restart. And we know he plays well in the playoffs. We know he plays well at the same course as pretty much
Bermuda. He plays well in Bermuda. Bing,
yeah,
bing.
And he loves this place. And he's got nothing to lose, but I mean, like, that's the guy who can get hot and get in the top five.
Oh, yeah. What about Mac Hughes?
I think he's accomplished all that he can accomplish this year. He's very happy just to be here.
Damn.
I don't see it.
One of the best long distance putters on tour right now. You want a guy like that, Ryan?
Yeah, so here's something that's kind of interesting.
How is Cam Smith in the playoffs? That's what I want to know.
I have no idea.
In the top 30. So what did he do this year?
I have no idea, but it must have been early. So back to
Munoz won.
He won Greenbrier, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, Mac Hughes, you know, we talk about his putting. He is first strokes gained putting since the restart. Do you know who's first in strokes gained around the green?
Since the restart?
Mm-hmm.
Lonto?
Mac Hughes.
Is he really?
Both. Yeah, he's basically Canadian Spieth at this point.
But he can hit fairways.
Yeah, well, in this field, and again, it's a very good field, since the restart, he is last in ball striking, first around the green, first in putting. So
I like Mac Hughes. I could eliminate – here's who I can eliminate. Smith, Leishman, Cam Champ, Anser Munoz, Imhat and Kisner. Wow, I did that. English, Reed, Berger, Rory.
Palmer.
Probably Palmer. Rory, Bryson. To be determined, the other three. Definitely, yeah. Rory, Bryson.
Yeah, I mean, what's tough about this one, too, and again, we got to see this format last year, but it was a little different because last year had a full season. There's a lot of stuff that happened. But this year, with the condensed schedule, with the condensed playoffs now, with all these top guys playing well, literally the best four players are at the top. It's DJ, Rahm, Thomas, Morikawa, and I guess Webb also. So, like, you literally have the best five players in the world probably right now, kind of 1 through 5. And they're followed by Rory and Berger and Xander. I don't see anybody passing that group of players. So it's really about who's going to score from the bottom and then just kind of getting 1, 2, 3 correct.
Who wins?
JT. It's probably time to go, but I would say JT or Berger probably have the best chance.
See, you plant that. You say that. Every week you say JT's going to win, and then you play someone else and win money. You did it again.
Yeah, well, I am not playing DJ. I'm probably not playing Rahm, so that kind of, I am very likely saying Justin Thomas.
I like JT just to come out of the shadows and just say, yeah.
Yeah, people forgetting about him because he had a couple of down weeks, but his ball striking's still been good. Just, you know, he finally putted well Sunday, but still been really good.
So you play a JT, Hideki, Tony Finau, Brendan Todd, Hovland, and then how much have you got left? Good amount.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to play a team. Look, I'm going to play a team that's going to be duped. I'm just going to do single entry. But, I mean, I can tell you right now, I'm going to click JT and Neiman and then see what else fits.
See, how can you play these the $25 entry. What's the max number? 150? Multi-entry. What's the number of combinations for this? Can you almost get there with 150 entries? I mean, can you almost like guarantee that you win?
I think what a lot of people will do in that is, you know, they'll just lock two spots, right? So let's say you lock JT Neiman, and then you just shuffle the other four. But I would suggest you set your salary to end at like, you know,
right. You leave $1,000 on the
table. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to send you my team right now so that you know that I am not going to change it prior to Friday morning.
See, here's the best part is that, yes, the Tour Championship is great. The playoffs are great. But what is the best fault outside of the CJ Cup that's no longer played at Jeju Island in South Korea? What's the best tournament in the fall? The best non-huge tournament?
Well, it could be the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek. I'm very excited about that. Yeah. The best event in the fall.
Yeah. The Safeway at Napa.
Yeah, Napa's good. It's typically a pretty good field for a restart.
Yeah, but it's just such a pleasant course, calm, fun.
I mean, I like Sanderson because we usually hit winners there, but, and we're going to hit it this year again with Sam Burns, so.
Wyndham Clark.
That guy's bad.
All right, let's go to, so your winner this week is JT, that's fine.
Yes.
That'll change by Thursday. This week is Valderrama. So not only does the Andalucía Masters have the best logo in all of golf, which I love sketching every year, this is an elite course. I think it's a tree-lined parklands of Spain, but it is very challenging, a shot maker's course. A Sergio Garcia will print money for you here every year. Of course, he's not playing this year.
Of course not.
The two guys that have made the most money for me over the years are Dustin Johnson and Sergio Garcia on the Euro Tour. This is it's a very tough course, a lot of cork trees. And so we've got a decent field. You've got Rasmus Højgaard at 19 years old, Ryan, who in his last five tournaments, third, second, sixth, third, first, and his second win on the European Tour at 19. If this kid was on the PGA Tour, he would have been icon status already. And I think he will get there. He is absolutely ice water in his veins.
Yeah, he is. He's quite good. Putting is still the weakness for him, but
yeah,
he smashed it off the tee, and he's a very good iron player.
Like Stenson.
Yeah, the stats show that at least. But just huge future ahead of him. Like you said, only 19 years old. I mean, I could see him being, as good of a player as like Neiman or something like that for sure. Pretty soon,
easily. The field this week, though, I know you're going to go lean towards, you're burned. I mean, that's your guy. But Loughton tears this course up every year. I remember he had 2 seconds. I believe he could have finished second twice to Sergio. I know at least 1 year he did. He's not in great form, but this is his spot. You got Højgaard again, which I would not discount him from winning again this week. It seems to just would fit him, his game perfectly. But what about Lee Westwood? Can we get Lee Westwood a win?
Yeah, we can. I played a lot of Westwood last week. He was fine. He was pretty good.
17th.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't quite have the short game, right? He still drives it really well. Usually is a pretty good iron player. He was down a little bit last week, but just not great around the greens, not a great putter. And I think specifically here, everyone's going to miss greens, and you're going to have to make a lot of 6 to 10 footers for par. That just, it doesn't scream Lee Westwood.
Mm-hmm. Who does it scream then? Sammy Vellamaki.
The only time he's played here in the last 10 years, he finished fifth. So, yeah, we'll see. We go back. We have a lot of guys, you talk about guys who just run really hot with the putter in the short game. I would drop down a little bit, but, Jorge Campillo, awesome putter, pretty good short game. Marcus Schinholt, awesome short game. I think
Campillo almost won last week.
Yeah, I think that's the type. Bjork has a good short game. I just He's not playing great right now, but he's an interesting one. You know, Justin Harding, a great putter. He could be an interesting one. But at the top, I am going to ride the form. So Burned is probably my number two. I didn't love his ball striking last week, but the short game was good, and he still finished fifth. I will say my favorite, because he's just due, is still Thomas Dietrich. This guy has to win. He just has to win. He finished eighth here last year, and in that eighth place finish, he was number one approach at Valderrama last year.
Two guys that show up on ball striking courses typically are your guy, Alvaro Quiroz, and then Wade Ormsby.
Yeah.
For deeper shots.
Yep. I think that's the mold. I mean, you just want to go pure mold, go, you know, old guys and plotters. Yeah. You know, you can look at Soren Yeltsin. You can look at Jamie Donaldson.
Thomas Bjorn was eighth last year.
Yeah, that might be a little deep for me, but I do like Donaldson quite a bit.
Thomas Bjorn just did a walking competition or some sort of thing for charity. He walked across Europe.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, that was awesome. I think he walked across Europe carrying the Ryder Cup too.
Yeah. So he's ready.
Yeah, like those sort of plotters. I mean, even a guy like Eduardo Molinari, you know, probably not going to win. Yeah, Shinholt looks great. You know, he's a wizard around the greens and probably close to number one strokes gained putting in this field. So old guys, plotters. Spanish.
Quiroz.
GFC.
Oh, man. That is, for those who don't know, Castaño is Brian's favorite player on earth that he won't admit.
He finished fifth here 2 years ago. How did that happen?
It is your perfect archetype for a golfer. It just ridiculously bad ball striker, phenomenal putter.
Yeah, it's great. It's basically the opposite
old and European.
All these guys. Yeah, you know, I'm actually interested to see how these guys who have been playing really well lately on easier courses have to come here and show off a short game, right? Like you look at Connor Seam, that guy has no short game. I don't know what he's going to do here, but he's playing so well that like you kind of have to ride it. Matthew Jordan, same thing. Jordan Smith, same thing. Like these guys have no short game. So
you could do an all Spanish team. The Ryan Baroff all Spanish team, Campayo, Oteegi, Quiroz, Castaño, Canizares. There it is.
I wish Adri was here because
De La Riva. That's your team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pretty much bet my guys. You know, I did bet Jorge and Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to Olesen. His kid keeps finishing like 25th or 30th, but he's really good ball striking. I like Callum Hill again. I like Soderberg again. Like I think that's the range, you know, for anyone who's playing DraftKings, you know, from kind of mid sevens through mid eights. I think that's where you find your winner this week.
All right, let's play the game of going way down the list and figuring out who Ryan's thinking of that we haven't mentioned that is way deep in odds. Do you have one in mind?
Well, I mean, not really, because it was GFC.
Okay. That was it?
Yeah.
Crap. I would have 100% guessed that.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. There's some amateurs here, Spanish amateurs. You know, last year, a couple years ago, we played Del Valle. He's playing again.
Peter Hansen.
He should be on the senior tour. But no, this is a really fun event to watch. Plus, we get extra coverage Thursday since PGA.
I love this tournament.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, man. So who are we doubling? We're JT.
Yeah,
or Rom.
I took the top three just because. So I took DJ, Rom, JT, and I paired them with Thomas Dietrich and Burned. And that combination, any combination would be.
What did that pay out?
12 to 1.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
12 to 1 each or 12 to 1 overall?
Any combo is 12 to 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I did the work. All right,
man.
Method, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Have a good week, Ryan.
All right, we'll talk soon. See you, buddy.
All right, that's it. Long opening, long segments, short close. I believe that John Rahm will win. No doubt I'm a Dustin Johnson stan. I love that guy. But I just think it's too I don't know. It's just too tough to have John Rahm two shots behind you and maintain that for 4 days. I can be talked into Justin Thomas too. But after all, we all know that Brendan Todd's going to win. Someone said, I don't understand when you say Brendan Todd because you mess up the name all the time on Twitter as part of your bit. So, what did I call him? Like Barfing Tort? The reason why I do that on Twitter when I mess up Brendan Todd's name to like Ball Pit Tap is that there are so many Brendans, Brendan Grace especially, that make it impossible to spell the word Brendan correctly. So I just mess it up on purpose. And now it's devolved into something ridiculous. So the name, when I say it on Twitter, it's not to be any disparaging towards Brendan Todd, who I like a lot. It's just obnoxious behavior by me because I can't spell Brendan Todd effectively. And Andalusia, Valderrama, let's go some Lee Westwood. Why not? Anyway, next weekend. Yeah, I guess the weekend following this is the safe way. We're back to legitimate 2021 golf at the Safeway in Napa Valley. I love that tournament. Until number 161. To the end, would you follow me? There's a world that was meant for us to see. To the end, would you follow me? If the world ever sang like it does to me.
Still gonna try, I guess I'm going home.